guys, welcome back to another edition to, Hockey Reels Connections, but I decided to try a new title. Nicky Ray is simply my nickname, my middle name, so it's still the same content and everything, but I thought to try Nicky Ray since I've been on all of our social media. Just stick to one single name, that'd be easier, you guys can find me that way, hopefully. Tonight, since I'm, kind of looking for ideas to talk about for this podcast. If you guys want to hook me up, I'm always on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Nicky Ray. And my author name is Nicole Jaspard. Alright, so don't get that confused. But I'm sticking to my author name, Nicole Jaspard. But everything else is Nicky Ray, N-I-K-K-I-R-A-E. Simple, right? So. Yeah, I try to keep it as simple as possible. you guys are doing well, it's about the pandemic, and we got a new president, and we'll see him. I think so. But tonight, I thought I'd talk about a simple subject. This the basis of like ghost hunting. Shit, 101, whatever you call it. Yeah, the basis of ghost hunting. I was trying to think, what in the world am I going to talk about tonight? I know I talked about many things. I talked about those spirits, apparitions, shadow people, angels. Maybe I'll talk about the demonic and dark spirits next time. I know they're out there. I heard from your medium, you'll hear from ghosts, time, you'll hear from many evil spirits, whether you believe it or not. So anyway, let's dive into this, shall we? Ghost hunting. It's a process of investigating locations that are reported to be haunted by ghosts, right? Spirits or demons, whatever you call it. But typically, ghosts. I believe they're more ghosts or like earthbound spirits that haven't really crossed over. However, spirits haven't really crossed over. That's just my theory. Anyway. Typically, a ghost hunting team will attempt to like collect evidence supporting the existence of like paranormal activity, right? Where ghost hunters use a variety of electronic devices that you would see me use in some of my lives. Like you might see if using EMF meters. EMF is stands for, I believe, is the electromagnetic field. This is the back of my head, so excuse me if I hit it wrong. And digital monitors to test the different temps of very high in the room. And sometimes, you know, if there's a spirit present and we can feel the temperature suddenly drop or suddenly get warmer. And that's very exposed. So, Sarah, here is anyway, you might also see another device called digital video cameras, night visions, that's pretty cool too. Infrared cameras, demographic night vision cameras, as well as digital audio recorders, so we can capture what EVPs, short for electronic voice phenomena, we capture spirit voices. So, there are more traditional techniques, so we all have our own ways of investigating. This works with best when you use your favorite ghost tool, stick with it, or app, whatever. I like to use ITC app though. ITC is for like interstate transcommunication, right? If they can manipulate the other electronics, they can do that too. Well, so believe me, if you guys see my videos, you know what I mean. But anyway, there's a long process of just those finding in a location. There's also the investigation. Now, the investigation is more a serious note. It's where you're not only collecting the evidence, right, but we're also collecting interviews and researching the important stuff in history. Now, if you're a second meeting like me, I prefer to leave that other stuff out. When I go to a location, if I have to hit something, you know, like, oh, okay. And I'll go back and research it. Hey, I was right, cool. And then maybe I was right, you know, cool. But it's just, you know, it's good to learn that too, to research. My voice will be out on me, although I'm doing a late one. A very late one. But, yeah. So, those hunters may also refer to themselves as paranormal investigators, which I prefer paranormal medium investigator. I'm also a medium. Ghost hunting has been really heavily criticized for its dismissal of the scientific method. There's a lot of methods you can try. So no scientific study has ever been able to confirm reports saying that the existence of ghosts. So it's like, you have to experience for yourself, whether you believe it or not, right? So, the practice is considered a, you know, I'm not even going to pronounce this word, but it's a majority of educators, academics, science writers, and skeptics. Now, I'm a firm believer. I don't claim to be skeptic. I'm a total firm believer from the beginning, because as a medium, I've come across spirits throughout all my life, not just, you know, recently, it's all my life. Yeah, I dealt with these things, and, so, we can also describe ghost hunting as an unorganized exercise, you know, compared to investigating, which is more organized exercise than what you would do for ghost hunting. That's how you can tell the difference between ghost hunting and investigations. We get asked that a lot. I mean, it has quite a history. I mean, kind of a research. Gosh, it can date back to the, way back to the 18th century even. So, you expect some matters. Ghost hunting was popular in the 2000s by most, you know, TV shows, most haunted ghost hunters, ghost adventures, you know, and so, sometimes, ghost hunting, not all funny games, right? Some serious stuff there, and you have to realize that you never know what you're dealing with. It could be a spirit pretending, let's see, it could be a dark spirit pretending to be a nice spirit, and it's nice. So I try to ask specific questions. And sometimes it is good to do like your research, and that way you'll get, you want to ask specific questions, so you'll get direct answers from spirit. So sometimes it is good to do your research before you go into the location. But you know, it's always good to be spiritually protected, the white light. And no matter what your background of your background is, always good to bring your faith with you, whatever. I like to wear your amulet, stones. I like to wear the black obsidian crystal around a bracelet, or I have some sort of protection stone, wearing a necklace and an earring, you know, whatever works for you. Rings. So, yeah. Alright, let's see, where am I going? So always make sure you are well rounded and spiritually protected with the white light. Now if you want to get deeper into the you know, those kind of what methods and equipment we might use. There are a variety of techniques and tools that we can use to investigate paranormal activity, right? So, like I say, we might use still photography, video, digital night vision impaired, disposable cameras. You can even use one of those, what are they called? I wish I had a couple. Those handheld impaired monitor. And even meters to detect mainly the unexplained fluctuations in electromagnetic fields. Or we might even bring our tablet PC to record data, audio, video, and even environmental fluctuations such as electromagnetic fields. And a WavePad, I highly recommend that if you want to use that app. WavePad is kind of like Audacity. My voice. I'm gonna take a quick water break here. Sorry, guys. I actually got my water. Ooh. You guys listening with me this far? Ooh, you know, to you. Alright, so, about the equipment that we might use. Might even use digital voice recorder where capture any unexplained noises where we might not even hear with our human ears. Sometimes we might, and that is called disembodied voice, I think. But this, the other one is supposed to capture like electronic voice phenomena in the piece. Maybe interpret it as what I was saying, this body voices. Which is like 99% chance we'll capture it, disembodied voices. The next tool you might use is a pendulum. And one of my favorite pendulums. You have 1,000 rods or any divination tool is good. I highly would recommend a Ouija board, but it is all done on intention. If you have good intentions, and if you know how to close the Ouija board properly, then yeah. So, that's the only thing I have with the Ouija boards. Okay, where was that? I would say 1,000 rods. I'm sure you guys know what it looks like in L-shaped rods. You can even make your own tool, like 1,000 rods. I even tried to make them myself. You can make them from an old coat hanger. Just click into the bone, you got it. So, you might even want to use a psychic medium. Clairvoyance, just mediums, such as myself, sensitive. Individual with that capability to identify and make even contact with your entities, right? And you might want to include demonologists, exorcists, and clergy, individuals, and make prayers and blessings to perform rituals for the purpose of cleansing the location of a life ghost or demon, poltergeist, or any negative energies in that person that too, I think. So yeah. And when we light out, it's important to kind of use this usual. You know, we kind of investigate during the peak evening hours, which is usually around, I would say, midnight to 4 a.m. So, and I'm sure most of y'all have heard about Glow Spots or SB7, Spirit Box 7, or even SB11. But yeah, Glow Spots is a radio with a frequency that you see in mode. That's some of the Tunner flame that allows you to communicate with spirits through the white noise. Also, an important tip is don't forget to do the interviews while you're collecting the evidence. sometimes it's good to have questionnaires ready and have a recording device on all times, even during an interview, so you never know what evidence you might get. So, you might want to do some typical historical research about property and locations. Like what I was saying about the Ouija board is simply another divination tool to communicate with spirits. A night vision is simply, I believe, a full spectrum video. It's a photographing where used by ghost hunters to visualize areas of the light spectrum that is usually unseen by the human eye, including infrared, right, and ultraviolet. And of course, we like to use what we call treasure objects that are props or tools that claim to be used to attract the entity to interact. Let's say we have a treasure bottle. It's a little device that maybe a child might be interested in because it looks like a bottle, right? That would be a treasure object. Or a teddy bear, there's an EMF teddy bear. Different children, there's a lot of ghost children. Things like that. And according to a report, it's saying that this should be any object which brings emotion or connection. Like I was saying, a teddy bear, a photo, even. Even a photo or a wedding band. And some pieces of equipment that I've been designed. My most simple attempt within a treasure object in order to help and detect the presence around the object. Right? And, in a thermographic universe. I think I said it right, yeah. Which is according to some ghost hunters that are helpful to detect visualization. Ooh, temperatures changing during the investigation. And during the, you know, according to those times, you know, to show out as thermal. And also, according to the fast medium, dogs rally and walking at certain places on the property and taps, gravitating or looking into a particular area as someone were present are believed to indicate a haunting. So the eyes watch your pets. You also might know the close by now when I was touring the David Oman's house. Hey David, you're listening. We were feeling cold spot just right before we started the tour, I remember. And all of a sudden, we heard these famous figurines fell. So, cold spots, what are they? Cold spots are according to the ghost hunting that cold spot is an area of localized coldness or a sudden decrease in the temperatures, right? So many of those hunters use digital thermometers or heat sensing devices to measure such temperature changes that believers changes that to that the cold spot variations within its structures, and there are no scientifically confirmed evidence that that spirit entities is this or can affect their temperatures as any other electronics. Right, and orbs are the most biased subjects of paranormal stuff. But I don't mind your beliefs, but I'm a firm believer in orbs, okay? It's because I've seen them since I was younger as a medium. I see them from time to time, like, damn, they're so bright. you guys can see them in my videos. I saw blue orbs today. That's pretty cool. Now, some ghost hunters claim that we don't really see orbs or circular artifacts appearing in photographs or video while running on the spirits of the dead or angels or whatever you would call it, or other paranormal phenomena. However, such as visual artifacts are the results could also mean flash photography illuminating, you know, a note of dust. You know, it could also be dust or other particle that is especially common with modern combat ultra combat digital cameras. So the way we can see the difference between the orb and I believe dust, because they have the orb can move from right to left or turn in the same direction all of a sudden, and orbs have the same colors, right? So I know I've seen gold orbs, I see blue, green, yellow, and well, I say yellow as a result. But yeah, they have a different color, red. But anyways, purple. Help me out, spirits. If I get this color. So yeah, milk cutting is very popular in these movies. You know, Ghostbusters, and you know, Poster Dies, one of my favorite films, Poster Dies. I like the first film, Poster Dies 1 and 2. And I like Ghostbusters, and of course, The Conjuring. Oh yes, I didn't have to go a bit longer. The Conjuring, you know, of course, is a American supernatural horror film directed by James Wan. And, you know, he's one investigated by Edgar Wood. And I happened to interview their grandson. So, yeah, thanks for watching. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. Nicky Ray's podcast. I'm sorry, I think I've been stick with this one for a while. Nicky Ray. So, bear with me, guys. And, have a great time. Wait. Alright, until then, this is Nicky Ray. Out.